Hey friends, welcome to the show. It's David Landjulie on the Leadership Deep Dive with Stephen Short. Welcome, Stephen.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to meet you here on the show. We had a nice conversation a few weeks ago. We're going to talk today about Stephen's Happy People Project and I'm going to put some links in the show notes for where you can find Stephen, but he is on a mission to make the world a better place with happy people in fulfilling and rewarding careers. Now, that is a huge, huge ambition, Stephen, and I applaud you for it. But why don't you share, you know, when we had our conversation, you shared with me what got you on this mission, this mission from God, as they say in the Blues Brothers.
Well, and the Blues Brothers, hopefully I don't crash as many cars, but yeah.
You won't crash as many cars, but hopefully you'll help a lot of people be happier. But share with the audience what led you to this. I mean, it's a bit personal, I know, but I mean, this is how you got here. So let folks know what happened and what you're up to and what this project's all about.
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And before that, for a couple of months, I was really up and down. At the time, I didn't know it, but I mean, there was part of it was sugar highs, sugar lows, all the rest of it. So I was through that time, I was not in a great place. I wasn't a great person to be around. I wasn't a lot of fun to be on a team with. I wasn't a lot of fun to be a partner with. I would say that my kids were also probably looking at me like, he's turned into a real grumpy middle-aged old man. I'm really not in a good place. And I did some work around that time, really kind of part of it as I've grown up in two family businesses. So I'm what I call a next gentrepreneur. So a next generation entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Things like imposter syndrome and am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this just a midlife crisis? Am I just blowing everything out of proportion? And I did a lot of research, listened to podcasts, saw some speakers, read some books, read some articles and all the rest of it. And then as I started to even out a little bit, when I went, changed my eating regime and all the rest of it, I lost 18 kilos now in America. And I don't know what that is. I think it's about 40 pounds or something like that.
Over 40. Sure. Yeah. 2.2. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit for you Americans.
Well, that's advanced math. You can't, you know, the Fahrenheit to centigrade thing is like advanced math. We can't do that here on the show. But you know, so, it's interesting. People like I know in Canada can do it like in a heartbeat in their heads. Hmm. It's really cool. By the way, you're coming to us from Ireland. I just wanted folks know that you're in Ireland. I think you are you in Dublin?
I'm in Dublin. Yeah. The center of the known universe.
The center.
That's how we build it anyway. I mean, that's
all right. Well, actually, we shared a little bit.
On a complete aside, I think Fast Times or one of these places did an article many, many years ago where they got Pangaea, the original landmass that split off to become all the continents. And they put all of the geographic boundaries as they currently exist. And Ireland is right bang in the middle of it. So when I tell people that we're the center of the world, I'm right.
I'm going to have to fact check you on that, Stephen. Okay. But, you know, I that's interesting. I am going to look at that. I'm interested in geology and history. And I shared with you that my family, my wife and two daughters, a few years ago, we were in Ireland and Scotland and England. And so I got to I had never been to your hometown, but I got a chance to spend a day there. And so that was lovely. My daughter was back there when we had our conversation. She was back in Dublin with some of her college friends. She came back to Texas and it snowed on her. So there you go. I mean, so much okay, for that, being back in Texas she got snowed on in the Isle of Skye and then she came home to she went home to Texas and she got snowed on. So there you have it.
Okay, so the cloud followed her home in the plane.
I guess so. Crazy, crazy. You had I really hate to use this word, but I'll use it. You had an existential crisis, okay? Like I can't stand that phrase, but yeah. You had an awakening. You had a, let's say,
Yeah, I suppose existential crisis is probably a strong way of putting it. All right. Like it's a phrase that's used a lot, but I have spent quite a bit of time working on my why and like, why am I here? Like what am I, not necessarily in a preordained destined thing, but like, what do I want to spend my time doing? Yeah. What do I want to put my energy into?
Let me pause you there. Sure. Right. Yeah. Because one of the pillars of your Happy People project is progress toward your purpose. Mm-hmm. And like you, for some people, maybe I think you discover your purpose at some point in life or not. But it's not a preordained thing. It's more like a choice. I believe you choose your purpose, your purpose chooses you. However you want to say that.
I think it's where a number of things align. Now, I mean, we could be on here for days having philosophical conversations about the preordained nature of all this, or whether you're choosing and making it happen. So we get into all that on a different conversation.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm probably not equipped to really share deep insights onto that. But what I discovered while I was working through this whole process, and like I was figuring out like what are the things that are most important? And it boils down to five buckets really in life, or five categories in life. So, because I love a good framework, those five buckets spell out happy. So the first one is highlights. So what are the highlights? What do you want as you look forward? Now, when I do this with adults, I tend to say look forward anywhere from 10 to 30 years forward. When I do it with young people and teenagers, it's like 5 years. The rationale being, if you are working with an 18-year-old and you're saying, okay, extrapolate out the next 5 years, imagine where you want to be in the next 5 years. If they try to comprehend the amount of change that they've had in their life in the last 5 years, it's impossible for them to extrapolate that out. So it's just the way that the human mind works, and we do this with career planning and things like that. But so imagine your life 20 years out. When you think about between now and then, what do you want those highlights to be? Now, what the highlights are is what you actually want. Now, it could be starting a family, starting a business, traveling to certain places, whatever it is for you that has the draw for you, not what you think other people think you should want. It's what do you actually want? So that's H, the highlight.
So let me pause you there with the highlights. In a similar way, in the positive intelligence coaching program that I use with clients, we call this like flash forward. It's an exercise where you kind of look out to the future, 10, 20 years, whatever you want it to be, and then look back. And what do you want to say about what happened, right? What do you want to celebrate? That's another way of like framing it for people, I think, is like, okay, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now, what, depending on the age group.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want to celebrate? Because it's really hard. Like we're constantly doing stuff and moving forward, but we never really pause to celebrate what we've accomplished. No less like flash forward and look back on your life and say, what would you want to celebrate 10 years from now? I think it's a great way of framing what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's the highlights. Then what's the A?
So once we've looked forward, now we need to look back. So what's got us to here? So A is appreciation.
Yeah.
So what are the moments? Who are the people? What are the experiences that have helped shape you to who you are today? Now, they don't have to be all the jolly, happy, clappy things that have happened in our lives. Right. We as human beings, we learn an immense amount from difficult situations as well and from hardship. So what are those things? And being grateful that you're here now, it might have been not an enjoyable experience when it was happening to you, but it has taught you, it has brought you to here. And how can we acknowledge that this is where we are?
Yeah. So let me offer the audience something along these lines too. I'm just making this up right now, right? Because this is okay. what you do is aligned with some of the work I do with clients. So sometimes I have clients, even if they're 20 years old, I don't work with many clients, although I have daughters in their 20s. Take your life and divide it, the number of years, by five is a good exercise. And then look at those periods and write down, like it's a journaling exercise. You could write down the things that you're grateful for, the people that you're grateful for. So it's a reflective process. But then I have them go one step further and say, look at that period of your life and find something that you thought was negative or bad or a challenge, and look for the gift or the opportunity that came from that. There is always a gift or opportunity, even if it was like a period of life where you had some trauma. Some people can many people find their purpose through traumas. And so going back to, you know, purpose, if you do this exercise and you look for appreciation or gratitude for even the challenging circumstances that you've had, you'll find it. So I just wanted to add that to your appreciation piece. So what's next on the happy, what's next for happy people?
So the first P is progress.
Progress.
So progress is all about what are the habits, or what are the skills, or the mindsets, or what are the things that you want to learn? It could be public speaking. It could be playing a musical instrument. It could be learning a new language. Whatever it is that you want to learn or do or improve, going to the gym, getting healthy, or whatever. What are the things that you need to do to grow, to that you're interested in developing in yourself?
Okay, so people who look for progress, who are looking to grow, are generally happier.
Yeah, because you're making, so again, you talked about it earlier on, like my definition of happiness is progress towards purpose. So if you know the direction you're going in and you're making progress, then you're going to be happy. You might feel that it's taking you longer than you would like it to take, and then that's the progress bit, and how can we ramp that up? Or what I find is worse is people who are making progress, but they're just spinning their wheels because they don't actually know which direction they're going in. So they don't have that purpose. They don't have what they're aiming for. So they're just, we had a conversation in our quarterly meeting yesterday to avoid the busy idiot syndrome, kind of just running around and doing stuff without actually having the impact that we want to have. So I think that's a really important piece of it, is the progress is important in learning and developing ourselves. But ideally, it's going to be tied to the highlights. Like if you're saying one of the highlights is I want to scuba dive in the Maldives. Okay. Have you done PADI? Have you done all the other stuff? No. So this is a skill that you
need. Do you know how to swim? Have you taken swimming lessons?
So there's all this kind of thing. So you need to make sure that you're making progress in the right direction.
Yeah.
So the second P then is people. No matter how introverted, I think there are very, very few people that are pure introverts and pure extroverts. I think we're all ambiverts, but no matter how introverted you are, we're dealing with people. So there's two parts to the people side of it. One is, who are the people in your life that you actually want to spend time with? Because a lot of the time when people start to reflect on this, they also start to realize, I'm spending a lot of time with people that I don't really like, and I'm not spending time with the people that I think are important to me. But the other part of people is the people who you don't know, who you admire. Who are they? But crucially, what is it about them that you admire? Because more often than not, when we admire some traits in other people, it's because we want to develop that in ourselves. So it gives us a deeper insight into what do I want and how do I want to show up. If I admire that person for their tenacity, I admire that person for their humor, and I admire that person for their commitment or whatever it is, what is it that you admire? Because that gives you an insight into some of the things that you want for yourself. And then finally, why is your contribution? We're all here not to take from society. We're all here to be part of this huge organic growing thing that is the human race. So what are you hoping to contribute to that. It can be something very small is not the right word, but it can be something like, I want to make art. I want to write poetry. I want to inspire people. I want to build a company and do amazing things. I want to build a company to employ lots of people. I want to start a nonprofit to be able to feed people. Whatever it is that you want to do, big or small, what's your contribution? What are you putting into the world? Where are you making sure that you are relevant? And we go through that exercise, going through all of the different answers in those five buckets, and you start to see the golden threads that pull these things together and how one or two of these are connected. Then you can start to think about what are my purposes? What's my purpose? What's my 1 year purpose, my 5 year purpose, my 10 year purpose? And you start to have an idea of these are the things that I want to be aiming for. And then I get people to create what I call a map, a measurable action plan. So what are the steps? What are the things that you want to do in order? So we do this in companies all the time. Like if we start working through lists of how are we going to accomplish this? I'm not talking about Gantt charts and like flow, like waterfall charts and things like that, but a simple measurable action plan. But the important thing here, and from a psychological point of view, is to make sure that we clearly define what that last step is. How do we know that we've won? What's our victory condition? So if we're saying, let's take the example of I want to go scuba diving in the Maldives, is it getting on a plane to fly to the Maldives? Is it putting on the wetsuit? Is it diving off the boat? Is it seeing a turtle? Whatever it is, clearly articulate that final step, bang, that's done. And that's a clear thing, because then all the other steps lead up to that. Because we do, human beings, we can go, oh, well, I want to scuba dive in the Maldives. Okay. It seems still a bit more, it seems a little bit ethereal or amorphous. So if we have a very clear defined, this is what it means, it makes it easier for us to start working towards that purpose.
Well, I think in that example, that might be one of the highlights of a life that has a purpose and so those are things where you have to get, you know, down to brass tacks, like how are we going to make that happen? But there's other elements. So when you went through this exercise yourself or developed this methodology, like, can you give the audience some examples of the highlights, the appreciation, the progress, the people, and the contribution that you discovered? Where are you at right now? Since this is your model, I presume you're practicing it. So why don't you share with the audience, you know, based on your awakening and discovery and research, what are you finding out that's making you happy?
So there's a couple of things. So one of the things that I also want to do is replace the word bucket list. So a bucket list is, for me, I don't know what it is about it. It just, it feels very morbid and very almost passive. Like, these are things I want to do before I die. So I want to create
bucket list is all about me. I'm with you on this. I despise that expression. Okay. Or people will say to me that life is about making experiences. That's like bucket list stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about these expressions because they lack in some sense the contribution part and the purpose part. You know, it's just bucket lists are just all about experiences that you want to have before you die. Okay, great. Go do it. I don't know, in my experience, because I've thought about this when people say this to me, memory of experiences is quite fleeting. And I don't think experiences in and of themselves lead to lasting happiness. They may be one part, so that, you know, you could have some bucket list experiences as your highlights, but it's not a comprehensive way to be happy. So I'm with you on this.
Just to finish my other thought, but I think there's something very interesting here as well. So what I want people to start calling is the happy life list. How do I happy? What are the different things? And then how can I live my life through that? But yes, One of the things that I do when I'm doing these workshops is I go through, and there's a bit of an exercise on the difference between a means goal and an end goal. And we're talking about these things. And like some people might want, they want the big house because they want to have a space to have friends and family over. They want grandkids to be able to come and play, and they want also all this other stuff. And that's the original rationale for why they wanted the big house. But in the pursuit of the big house, which is the means goal, not the end goal, the big house is the means to the end of having a close family and people who can feel that they're welcome to come and all the rest of it. And we see so many people who are on paper successful, but they're not happy because they actually got focused on the means goal, not the end goal. So that's why I think having all of these elements, like there are parts of it, absolutely, going scuba diving, climbing Machu Picchu, they're highlights, but what does that actually, what's the end goal of that? Like, is it to have climbed a challenging mountain? Is it to, because you enjoy being with nature? Like, what is it, not to just tick off a box of, or tick off a checkbox of your bucket list? What is it that is helping you to live the life the way that you want to live it? Because ultimately you want that freedom, you want that connection, you want to travel and have those, like, meet interesting people or whatever it is. Understanding that part about it is the underlying part of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. For my own, I've built my own.
The experiences are just a part of the equation. So the bucket list items are just part of a larger, I'm not saying don't have objectives or things that you want to do in life that you're pursuing, but it's really only a part of the whole in this model that you're suggesting. And in my own perspective on happiness, it's just, you know, like, for example, I'm leaving at the end of next week for what we call a Colorado hut trip. These are these high mountain huts that you either hike or ski into. They're usually above 12,000 feet here. And you know, it's I snowshoe in because I'm not an expert backcountry skier, but I don't just go on these hut trips. And I've been doing this for I climb mountains for about 15 years. Again, you know, had some great experiences. I could get into the reasons, the why of climbing mountains, right? So sometimes just looking at your why for your bucket list items is important. But
your happy life list items.
Yeah, I like that. happy life list items. But, you know, the hut trip, for me, the hut trips are primarily about connection with people. So that's one of the P's. Mm-hmm. So there's a group of people from Santa Fe, New Mexico, from California. I'm coming from Florida, somebody I know from Pennsylvania. We come together and we cook together, we live together. So it's not just about the experience of being in the mountains. It's also about the experience of being with the people. We help each other out. You know, I don't know that there are, you know, for me also, it fits, the hut trip experience fits into my health and well-being aspect of my life. And I'd be interested, since your own journey to discovering a happy project came from a health issue, where does health and well-being fit into this model?
So the health bit is probably mostly in the progress. Like, what do you want to do to like, is getting healthy one of the things for you? It's absolutely like, what are the mindfulness habits, getting to the gym, getting out, walking the dog, whatever it is that helps you to make progress. I would also say that some of the mindfulness stuff can be your contribution as well. So what you're putting out into the world and how you're impacting those around you. There's a phrase, I think it was actually originally used by a US pastor, but it's a phrase that when I heard it, I was on an entrepreneurial leadership retreat in the mountains in Germany. And I heard this phrase of lift where you stand. Mm-hmm. So instead of waiting till you've climbed the mountain to turn around and then help others, wherever you are right now, how can you help those around you and then move on? And it's a phrase that really resonated with me at the time and helped to shape an awful lot of my thinking. This is about 10 years ago now at this stage. Mm-hmm. And I think that your contribution and progress are the two areas that would be most around the exercise, eating well, helping others, helping yourself, mindful.
Well, so you can't be a contribution if you don't have good health. I mean, it's very, very hard to contribute. I mean, you can. I mean, you could be like Stephen Hawking and figure out a way to write books on physics and make your contribution that way, albeit you're in a wheelchair and you're having to use computer-aided assistance. So that would be like some of the structures. I'd be interested. Yeah, that like a structure that helped him. I mean, what are some structures? I mean, I guess this would be in the habits or progress. You know, you need some structures. Maybe one structure is a morning meditation routine, right? That could be a structure that or habit that you establish for yourself, or maybe you use technology like we're using right now called Restream to get your word out to the world like you're doing right now. How do you sort of be a contribution? Sometimes using technology can help you be a contribution. So what are your thoughts on like some of these structures and systems that might be helpful for folks?
So a mentor, a friend of mine many years ago got me, he used to advocate a lot for this concept of structure actually sets you free. And having these structures then allows you more freedom. So once there's, rather than just going, oh, I'll do this and that move and this and the other. So a lot of, now I have struggled with this. In the morning is not when my mind and my body and my energy are at its peak. I'm usually in the evening, I'm much better at being able to go for a long walk with the dog, do the cooking, clean the house, do the bits and pieces. But I know that there are a lot of people in my world, entrepreneurs, who do this 10-10-10 thing in the morning. So when they get up a little bit earlier than everybody else. As well, it's 1-10-10-10. So they do 1 minute of just mindful, kind of seeing where they are, sitting up in bed and sitting for 1 minute of just deep breathing. Then they do 10 minutes of meditation. They get up and move and do 10 minutes of meditation somewhere, whether it's some kind of chanting or just breathing or something else. Then they do 10 minutes of reading any topic, but the one, like it, things like Chicken Soup for the Soul or any of the Stoics or like short things that you can consume start to finish in 10 minutes. So it gives you that mindset. And then 10 minutes of journaling, ideally kind of gratitude journaling. And they start the day with that 31 minutes. And that's a structure that gets them ready for the day.
Yeah. Right.
I feel I'm better thinking and doing stuff in the evening. So I do the journaling when I do it. I don't do it as often as I probably should, but I discuss ideas and I discuss concepts and I discuss things all the time. The going to the gym, I'm now getting back into going to the gym with my 16-year-old daughter because she just turned 16. She wants to go to the gym. So we're going to be structuring that. So there is a routine and a rhythm because, teenage girls there is a need, I think, to have a certain amount of flexibility, but also a certain amount of, you got to show up at this time and this place to do this thing. And that's life lessons.
Yeah. So I'm mindful of our time. What else would you like to share with the audience about this project? You developed this model and it seems like that's your purpose, is to share this model with as many people as you can and be a contribution to people who may be struggling with finding or their happiness, and how can folks find you and how can you help them?
So all of the information, everything is on happypeopleproject.com. So it outlines the whole framework. I do workshops for individuals, for young people, for entrepreneurs. I've had people, they've used it roughly, but I haven't actually formally done the workshops for projects. So within your company, within your organization, like if you're coming together to do a 6-month project, you get the people together and What are the highlights of the project? What are we appreciative of that's gone past? What are the things that we need to be working on a daily basis? Who are the people we need? And what's my contribution to this project? So it can work in a business context.
It's the happy also, project. It's the happy project.
But the other one that I'm probably more excited about is I did a session in Athens in Greece last week with a group of next generations and entrepreneurs. So it was the kids of the entrepreneurs that I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. But we were having a conversation because there's something I'd really like to build, which is the happy family map, not just the happy work-life map. So the happy family map. So especially there was one of the guys, he was really keen on this because his kids are older now and they're living away from home and he still wants to have these connections. And how can they have like a meaningful, purposeful connection with them? It's not just ringing, oh, how are you? Oh, and superficial. So the idea is like, okay, well, what are the experiences? What are the highlights that we'd like to have as a family? We might have separate stuff, but what would you like as a family? What's the appreciation and all the rest of it? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm probably more excited about than the one in corporate, like the team stuff. I'm very happy to do stuff in teams and in companies. I just had a call with HubSpot the other day about doing stuff with their some of their startups and the entrepreneurs who are going for Series A and kind of need to get that mm-hmm. clarity around what they're trying to do. So.
Yeah. So, you know, happy teams at work, mm-hmm. happy family, happy wife is happy life.
Absolutely.
So if there was one thing you would challenge the audience to do right now to get a start on their happy life, what would it be? Other than reaching out to you, which I encourage folks to do, but let's just say, you know, one thing I always like to give the audience, one thing to try to have a happier life, what would it be?
So the one thing to try is have a few minutes to yourself. Now I give people 3 minutes in the workshops to do this. And the reason I give it 3 minutes to write stuff down is because if I only give you 90 seconds to do it, people will write kind of, oh, this is what I'm expected to write. But if you keep writing for those 3 minutes, 3 minutes is too short a time for your rational brain to kick in and go, no, that's not feasible, that's not possible. So if you're able to just sit by yourself for a few minutes and start thinking, you don't have to go through the whole framework. I mean, it's easy to do, but to start it, what are the things that I would like to do? Not what other people think I should do. What would I like to do? You don't have to share this with anybody. Just write. No thinking, just write it down. Bullet points, keywords, and start to build out that process. Because as you say, we develop it. So we need to uncover what's actually in our world. I came across this fabulous example of as we grow up, we're starting at the bottom of a mountain. And as we go up the mountain, we get more of a view. When we're a baby, we only know like the kitchen and our bedroom and things like that. We don't have a view of the world. But as we start climbing up that mountain, we get more of a view of the world around us. But at the same time, we're putting more stuff in our backpack, which is other people's opinions, our fears, our thoughts, our everything else. And when you reach a certain point in the mountains, the kind of the midlife crisis kind of thing, you see everything, but you have this extraordinarily heavy bag on your back. And if you can put that bag down and actually look at it and go, okay, what stuff that I put in that I wanted and what stuff that other people put in that I don't really need. So figuring out what it is that you want to do, that's the only way to live your life.
Yeah. I think it's a great exercise. I would encourage everyone in the audience to give it a try, you know, give yourself a timer. I like to give people longer as someone who journals also and picked up journaling. Maybe, I don't know. I do it in the morning just because there's a practice called Morning Pages, Julia Cameron. Mm-hmm. I like to write like one page in my journal, longhand, or just stream of consciousness, whatever comes mm-hmm. to mind. But this is a more very specific type of journaling that you're recommending? 3 minutes, 5 minutes, at a minimum 3 minutes. I'd say more like give yourself some time to be reflective. And, you know, what are the things you might like what dreams did you once have but let go of? Well, bring them back in, bring them back. You know, mm-hmm. you can say, well, oh yeah, I had that dream when I was younger, and I put it in the backpack with a bunch of other stuff that got put. Maybe I should pull it out of the backpack now and revisit it and see if it's something I still want to pursue. I don't think it has to be like a big, heavy, I would not recommend, in fact, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? You could do that. You could do that and sit a bit. In that sort of case, I would say, you want to sit for a little while and just
that's quite a mountain.
That's a big mountain. Think about some of the things you might like to do in your life. Like, don't put any limits on it. That's the other thing about this exercise. Do not limit yourself in any way in terms of, I've always wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, right? Don't say like, I'm not in good enough shape and I don't have the money right now, blah, blah, blah. That's just the negative, rational, analytical mind talking you out of what you want to do. So I like your exercise. It's something everyone in the audience can do. Spend 3 minutes, write down, journal a few things that you might like to do with whatever time you have left on the face of the earth. And you don't know. The only thing we do know, this is one of my Buddhist teachers is fond of saying, you just don't know the time and the circumstances of your death. You just know that you are going to die. So you might as well be mindful of, you never know when your card's going to be punched. So you might as well write some things down that you'd like to do with the time that you have left.
Absolutely.
And I think you face this, you did face that yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people who have overcome far more difficult things than I did. But yes,
I don't think you should discount it, Stephen. Anything?
No, I'm not discounting it, but I'm also there's people who have come through. I mean, the man's search for meaning, really traumatic thing, and have that clarity of thought. So you mentioned it as well earlier on about purpose. A lot of the time, or everything else comes from trauma. I mean, if you look at every superhero that ever existed, it always came from overcoming some trauma. So having that spark, you need that. If an easy life and a strong character are not things that go hand in hand. So
right. Well said, Stephen. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your perspective. I will put a link in the show notes for the audio version of this where people can find you and the Happy People Project. Go check that out and reach out to Stephen. He'd love to help you be happier. All right.
So happypeopleproject.com is me. happypeopleproject.com/Stephen has all of my details. If I can help you to make progress towards purpose, more than happy.
That would, I'm sure, fulfill your contribution and your purpose. So keep up the good work, Stephen, and take care.